I thank God for the opportunity I have been given to come here and to do as I've been commanded to do in God's holy word, which is this, Psalm 66, verse 16. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. That is what I plan to do first this morning, to declare what the Lord in his goodness and grace has done for my soul as an individual. And I want to do that first for two reasons. First, I think it will establish my credentials as one who is qualified and called to speak to this topic of the occult, because not everyone is. And second, I think it will alert you, especially you parents, you grandparents, to how susceptible your children and your grandchildren are to the wiles of the devil, how susceptible they are to being influenced, even enticed, to the occult. So I'll share first my upbringing. I was born, baptized, and raised as a Roman Catholic. We attended Mass every single week. I took catechism class every Monday night. I received all the sacraments I was supposed to receive right up to confirmation, which I guess is our version of professing faith publicly in Christ. I regarded myself as a Christian. My upbringing also was perfectly normal, and I want you to mark that point well. Don't be naive about who is and who is not susceptible to the wiles of the devil. Satan can destroy and deceive a church kid just as quickly as he can a worldly kid. He is no respecter of persons. In fact, I rather think he enjoys stealing the thoroughly catechized covenant youth. I mean, the children of the pagans already belong to him. He doesn't have to work hard or long to steal their hearts. But covenant children, those who have received the promises of grace through baptism, those who have heard the words of grace through catechism and teaching, this poses a challenge to the enemy, which I think he is ready to meet, even with all creativity. Satan is very creative when it comes to seducing impressionable minds. I mean, he knows that he can't just drop a satanic Bible into the lap of someone and expect them to believe it, especially a churchgoer. To be completely honest, I would have been scared to death if I would have seen one of those kind of books as a child. The enemy knew this, and therefore he enticed me more slowly and more subtly, through less obvious, through some seemingly innocent influences. And I'll mention a few of those now, though they are a bit dated because of my age. In my early teen years, I began feeling somewhat like an outcast. I mean, I was skinny, redheaded, had freckles, I wasn't good at sports, and you know how it is. You also know how cruel children can be to one another, and I was picked on, I was beat up, generally humiliated as a child by bullies, so I did what any picked on kid would do. You find friends that are like you, also feeling like outcasts. Find people who feel the same way, like they just kind of don't fit in. In my case, it was the skaters, or for your parents, the kids who ride the skateboards and have the long hair. They became my peer group, my first negative influence that enticed me to the occult. Peers, they are powerful. The Bible says, corrupt company corrupts good morals. But I didn't care. Again, all I wanted was some friends. And my new skater friends were very good friends. There was no judgment there, no criticism, no condemnation. We all accepted each other just as we are, and then we all commiserated with each other about how unfair life is and our parents and all of that stuff. The skater scene, if you're unfamiliar with it, is inherently antisocial. And it expressed its antisocial tendencies through behavior, through music, through dress, through attitudes, through actions, through rebellion. As for the music, it was anti-establishment punk rock music. And this became the second influence which led to my downfall. Music. We all love music, but I would remind you it is a powerful thing. It can communicate. It can convey an entire worldview with just one song, even without words. It turned me into an angry little punk who hated everybody and everything. So then I graduated from eighth grade. My parents planned to continue the proud family tradition of everybody going to the local Catholic high school, private school, so they sent me there. It couldn't have been more disastrous. After all, I was already a skater and a punk, not a jock. Again, I was picked on and bullied, beat up, humiliated. And I have to admit, I brought most of this upon myself through this fierce commitment I had to self-expression, nonconformity, being my own person. But even though it was self-inflicted, I tell you, the emotional pain I experienced was somewhat crippling. And I didn't understand it at the time, but the enemy was using this, as I think he always does. Abuse. Feeling abused. Whether it be mental, emotional, physical, even sexual. Suffering abuse gets people into a compromised state of mind. A weakened state of spirit that the enemy loves. Yes, as a teenager, I was hospitalized briefly for depression, having suicidal thoughts. The enemy had his hold on me already. So we all made the right decision and got me out of Catholic high and into the public high school where I would probably fit in better. But I did. But it didn't solve any problems. All it did was intensify them. I mean, by this time, I was already filled with bitterness and loathing. My antisocial attitudes and actions were becoming increasingly more annoying. I found others who were just like me, and you would not have let your children hang out with us. Trust me. I mean, we were all dressed as if we were ready for war. We wore nothing but black, lots of leather, trench coats, combat boots, spikes, army fatigues. You've seen people like this, and you've probably wondered why. Why would somebody want to dress like that? Again, we were filled with bitterness. We hated society. We despised all authority. We hated ourselves. We hated everyone else. We hated just about everything, again, except for music. So we started a punk rock band in order to express our general antagonism. So now the enemy had me beat down. He had done this patiently in over a few years, but he had managed to fill me with hatred and bitterness. He had me right where he wanted me, and that's where the more obvious negative influences came into my life. And they came quickly. Occult books. Occult books. At first, these were just fiction books that had occult themes and overtones. Books written by Tolkien, Anne Rice, Clive Barker, and the like. These books did entertain me, but they also desensitized me to the occult by portraying wizards and vampires and witches and the like in at least a neutral light, and oftentimes in a very positive light, even as the heroes of the stories. It wasn't long before I began reading real occult books, nonfiction, the names of which I will not give in order to protect your children. Then came occult movies. These were horror movies, science fiction movies, anything fantasy-oriented. These movies filled my mind with more occult thoughts and images, and you might well call it indoctrination through entertainment. Occult games. These two now had a place in my life. Games like Dungeons and Dragons, Ouija boards, you've heard of those. These are all admittedly dated and have been replaced with higher tech games, even online and video. Occult music. It didn't take long for our band to intensify in terms of our rage. Our punk rock turned into heavy metal. And then after a while, the heavy metal turned into death metal. If you don't understand the distinctions, you're probably better off. Occult substances, which all illegal drugs are. In fact, our English word pharmacy, it is a direct transliteration of the Greek word translated in the Bible as sorcery. Pharmakia, sorcery. And also occult jewelry. And yes, there is such a thing. Mostly made of silver, because of that metal's supposed connection with the moon, pentagrams, even inverted crosses. By the age of 15, I had become an apostate. Apostasy. That meant I was no longer a Christian. I was not afraid to admit it. To be honest, I viewed Christians, and I did know some evangelical Christians in high school. I viewed them as weak and brainwashed, superstitious, generally stupid. I truly believed at that point in my life that the forces of nature, the cycles of nature, and demons were of more practical and more powerful use than the God I learned of as a child in church. And as far as the church went, I saw it as irrelevant, out of touch, in denial. As I said, I had become an apostate. First, I began studying and practicing Wicca, which means witchcraft. And yes, there are male witches, but that religion was too girly for me. So I started reading the Satanic Bible, written by Anton Zandor LaVey, and it was about that time that I called down or invoked my first demon. Now, all such invocations include a discharge spell that's supposed to send the demon back from whence it came when you're supposedly finished with it. But I need to tell you, it does not work that way. See, demons are of a higher metaphysical order than we humans, we mortals. We cannot, therefore, just charge them and discharge them as we please. Once a demon has been invited into your life, it stays. It invites others. And this I learned the hard way. Soon enough, I lost all peace of mind through a gradual oppression of my spirit. Not an immediate seizure. I was not possessed. I was oppressed. My thoughts begin to darken. My hatred for God, man, and self began to increase, to smolder within me. Violence, death seemed to course through my veins, and things got worse and worse and worse until I found myself in complete spiritual bondage. I was severely depressed, having frequent suicidal thoughts, even attempts. I engaged in self-mutilation, or as the kids call it nowadays, cutting. And to make things even worse, I was simply not content to keep my misery to myself. Oh no, I felt this selfish and satanic need to bring others into my misery, into my sick and delusional reality. And I accomplished it through manipulation, seduction, scare tactics, whatever worked. And this is the point in my life where I began to manifest more and more outwardly what was already in my heart. I began tormenting and torturing other people's lives through deception, manipulation, violence. And it's only in retrospect that I can see this, because at the time, I was just doing what naturally came to me, deceive and destroy. Deceive and destroy. You know, it wouldn't even be proper to speak of the many and malevolent things with which I was involved at that point in my life. But I'm not sure modern Christians understand that. Whenever I mention my past involvement in the occult, it seems that people, even sanctified Christians, are immediately carried away by sinful, morbid curiosity. They ask strange questions. Well, how deeply were you involved? Did you ever sacrifice an animal? Did you ever drink blood? What about human sacrifice? What in the world is wrong with us, brothers and sisters? Have we not read Ephesians 5:12? God says, "It is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret." It is shameful. So, suffice it to say, those were dark and bloody days, and I eventually cracked under the spiritual pressure. Even the drugs I took, they provided no method, no avenue of escape, because demons inhabit the dream world just as much as they do waking reality. And to be honest, at that point in my life, I could never tell which was which. But I wanted to know, so I continued to search for more of the knowledge of good and evil, I then stepped into a branch of the occult named sorcery. By this time in my life, I will be honest, I was unfit for life in a civilized society. I was a danger to myself, a danger to others. I had been arrested, rehospitalized. I was heavily medicated, people trying to fix me. I was a pitiful creature. But if anybody dared to show me pity, I would just destroy him and then revel in it because I was just plain evil. In fact, death and darkness were so much a part of my personality, so ingrained in my soul that I went and got a degree in mortuary science, figuring that if I had to work for a living, if I had to work with people, then I would prefer that they be dead. But then came deliverance. Deliverance. Even out of all this darkness and sin, God brought light and life. Life. Though born illegitimately, I had a son. And believe me, I resisted that call to fatherhood, which I just regarded as a call to normalcy, as hard as I could and as long as I could, but God would not have it. Though he called me in his providence to fatherhood, he then called me in his providence to Christ through the gospel. And believe me, I didn't go looking for it. I was delivering pizzas one night and getting stoned, listening to the radio. Just happened to come across a Christian radio station. This guy was preaching fire and brimstone. To be honest, I thought he was ridiculous. I thought it was such a joke, but it was entertaining. So I listened. And then I listened the next night. And the next night, thoroughly entertained. I didn't like what I was hearing, and I certainly did not want to become a Christian. But even though I resisted with everything, and yes, everything that was in me, God Almighty conquered me. And Christ Jesus took his place on the throne of my heart. Ephesians chapter 2 became quickly my favorite passage because it described my experience so well. Listen, you who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires in the flesh of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. That is not only what the Bible says about the gospel, but that is my personal story. That is why I no longer serve myself nor Satan. That's why I gave up everything that was important to me at the time, so that I could help other people find deliverance and new life in Christ. Now, to close this introductory portion of my lecture, I'm going to put the question, a question that's not often put in Reformed churches. What about you? Is this your experience? Is this your story? I know that most of you have probably never been involved in the occult. I know that all of you go to church. But please remember, so did I. I know that all of you have probably been baptized. So did I. I know you all pray. So did I. I know you're all calling yourself Christians. So did I. The problem was I had not been born again. And there is a difference. Listen to what Jesus said. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. To which a religious, very rational man responded, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. That, my friends, is your first and most necessary duty this morning. I know you came here to hear about the occult and how you can keep yourself safe, your family safe from the wiles of the devil. But the fact of the matter is this. If you and every member of your house has not been born again, I have nothing I can teach you about that. If you have not been born again, the devil already owns you. If you have not been born again, the devil owns your home. Yes, even your children. Therefore, I call upon you now to forsake every false hope, to repent of your sins, and to place your trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, because I am walking and talking proof that all the religion in the world cannot save you. All the sacraments in the church cannot save you. All the catechism classes in the world cannot save you. The only thing that can save your soul from Satan is personal, saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If these words have pricked your conscience, then I praise God. And before we move on, let's pray together. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God, we look to you now confessing each one of us our great and desperate need of salvation. Lord, we confess before your holy and righteous majesty that all of us have been conceived and born in sin. All of us have grown up and gone on to live in sin, doing those things that you've told us not to do, and also leaving undone the many good works that you've called us to. And of all this sin of ours, you've said, he who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. And for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. We thank you, O God, for so loving the world that you sent your only begotten Son to destroy the devil and to destroy all his works. Now we ask, O Lord, and we beg by the mercies of Christ, if there be any unbelievers, unconverted amongst us now, we pray that you would send forth your Holy Spirit to convict them of their sin and to convert them to Jesus Christ. And we'd also pray, Lord, for those amongst us who have already believed, who have been born again. We pray specifically that you would continue to enlighten our minds as we continue to humble ourselves in your presence and as we continue to give attention to your holy word. Amen.